College football season is Modelo season. There's nothing quite like a college football Saturday. The fight songs, the rivalries, the traditions passed down from one generation of fans to the next. And of course, they're settling in for a full day of football with a crisp Modelo. Because Saturdays are for the gridiron and cervezas. College football is built on tradition, and no one knows tradition like Modelo. From the fan quakes that shake the stadium to the rivalry trophies that mean everything year after year, these traditions are what make Saturday special. So if you're listening to this, consider it your sign. Grab a crisp Modelo, settle in, and enjoy a full day of college football. Because it's just not game day, it's tradition. And those who keep college football traditions alive deserve a Modelo. Modelo is the official beer sponsor of the college football playoff. Drink responsibly. Modelo Especial Beer, imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Can you believe Bob's Discount Furniture opened 35 years ago? Back in 1991, landlines ruled the day. You could not binge watch your favorite shows, and podcasts were science fiction. A lot has changed since then, but Bob's is still doing things the Bob's way, bringing you top-tier style and features at 90s-era prices. Need to kick back? The Sedona Power Reclining Sofa is the ultimate relaxation station. Packed with genuine leather, power recline, built-in charging, cup holders, and Bob-a-pedic seating for just $12.99. You can even pair it with a matching love seat and recliner. And if you love hosting, the Homeworks dining set is built for summer parties with tons of hidden storage in the table and bench, plus comfy Bob-a-pedic foam for only $6.99. And don't miss the best-selling Cascade bedroom set. It features a trendy, reeded design, USB ports, felt line drawers, and three gorgeous finishes at only $2.50 per piece. Stop in this Labor Day weekend to celebrate 35 years of Bob's Discount Furniture.
I'm pretty confident talking into a mic. Hey, I'm doing it right now, but home projects, I second guess everything. Is that noise normal? Is that water damage? Who do I even call? That's where Thumbtack comes in. Just upload a photo or voice note, and it uses AI-powered search to match you with a right top-rated local pro. So instead of guessing, you get clarity and can hire with confidence. For your next home project, try Thumbtack. Hire the right pro today.
What's going on, everybody? It is that time again. The Sooners Illustrated Podcast, episode 279 on this Thursday, June 18th, 2026. Josh Calloway, Tom Green here with you. On a Thursday, I am still in Omaha, and that's because Oklahoma just keeps winning. Unbelievable run. It continues. They're back in the CBS Finals. We're going to talk about it all. Tom and I have both been dialed in. So I'm here in Omaha. Tom's been giving lots of great coverage from back home in Oklahoma. We're going to wrap it all up. This unbelievable run continues. We're going to set the table for the finals. We're going to break it all apart on a Thursday. It's a CWS Thursday. The finals coming up starting on Saturday. It's unbelievable. And we're going to talk all about it on the program here today. Before we get started, though, reminder, you can subscribe to Sooners Illustrated at oklahoma.247sports.com. Use the promo code SoonersPod60. That'll get you a 60% discount to Sooners Illustrated, the entire 247 Sports Network. Take advantage. Be with us every single day. Tons of boots on the ground coverage here from Omaha, from myself. More to come as we're into the finals now. Obviously, recruiting stuff. We're getting into the summer. Football season right around the corner. Be with us every day as Sooners Illustrated. All right, Tom, let's get into it. My goodness, it just keeps going. The run of all runs, the heater of all heaters. It's just where to begin. You know, we'll break apart some of the kind of the big storylines and what they're doing on the field. But let me first just start with Tom, just holy crap, they're in the finals. It's just, we talked about it. I mean, at the end of the year, they couldn't have ended the year really any more poorly, right? They go 4-9 the final 13 games. They got a brutal draw having to go to Atlanta. They were hitting okay at the end of the year. They were scoring runs, but they were giving up just a million runs. And, you know, they lost their last four series. You know, mental lapses in the field, bad base running mistakes, not being able to throw strikes, like any bad thing, like the juju could not have been worse. And they've just flipped the switch at the most extreme level that I've ever seen. And, you know, you don't want to, at least in OU, and maybe if you expand it out to anywhere. I don't know if this has really ever been done to quite this degree, what this group has done. They're into the finals. What has been your thoughts watching this from afar? Because it's just, I can't believe it. It just keeps going, and they're into the finals again, just like they were 4 years ago. It's unbelievable what this group is doing right now.
My thought really is just that this is just a remarkable run. I mean, it's hard to put into words.
It is.
Considering how poorly they kind of finished the regular season. But they've won 8 in a row now. And really since, you know, that regional final against Georgia Tech when they're down, 8-2, they've just been all gas, no breaks. You look at their last 7 wins to get to this point. Two wins against the number 2 team in the field, a historically good Georgia Tech team. A sweep on the road of the number 15 seed, Kansas.
Big 12 champ.
Big 12 regular season and tournament champ. Georgia Tech was the ACC regular season and tournament champ. You beat one of the top teams in the SEC in Alabama, and then you win back-to-back games against the number 3 seed in the field, Georgia, which, was the SEC regular season and tournament champion. Mm-hmm. And they've not trailed in Omaha, if I'm remembering correctly. It's just been a surreal run to this point. And like you said, like we did not see this coming, a month or so ago with the way this team was kind of limping into the postseason. We went from saying, oh, here's what they need to do to maybe be in the conversation to host a regional. And then the wheels kind of fell off there for a little bit late in the season. And they just found some sort of magical juju to get to this point. And that's not to take away from anything the players have done.
Right.
Because they've all been playing out of their mind up and down the lineup, all throughout the pitching staff. It's just been truly surreal to see them put it all together like this.
It is truly astonishing. And it's funny. I mean, you go back and you look at their regional opener when the tournament started, because they had that big layoff, right? They go 1-and-done in Hoover. They hadn't played in a week and a half. And there was some thought when we did the show going into the tournament, like maybe the time off does some good. Maybe they can kind of reset some things. And they fell behind to the Citadel in their very first game. They were down 3-1, and it was like, whatever. I'm sitting there watching the game thinking, you know, it's just this season just kind of fell off the rails. It is what it is. Obviously, they turn around and win that game, and the rest is kind of history from there. I mean, they lose to Georgia Tech in the winner's bracket, but they come back. They beat Georgia Tech again twice, coming with big comebacks in both games. Like you said, Kansas, and now they've kept it rolling in Omaha. They're smashing the baseball. And, you know, I was here in 22 when they did this same thing, this incredible, improbable run. That was in the pre-Sooners Illustrated era, but I was here covering it for a different place. And this one feels bigger and crazier. I'm trying to figure out why that is. I mean, this one's more out of nowhere. The 22 team was unranked as well. They were unseeded, I should say. But they were good. I mean, they had a good season. They ended the year really hot. They won the Big 12 tournament. Like, they were hot going into the postseason that year. This year's group, I mean, is completely out of nowhere. And just, Tom, the scene on the field last night when they punched it was – I haven't had the pleasure yet to see OU football, basketball, baseball win a national title. That was one of my top takeaways coming away, was like, what is that like? Because this was to punch their ticket. It was mayhem. It was mayhem. And it was a who's who of – I mean – Barry Switzer, Bob Stoops, Porter Moser, Jenny Baranchik, John Mateer made the trip, Xavier Brown, Earl Williams, Roger Denny was here, all the donors and Board of Regents people. It was mayhem on the field last night. Everyone's in a great mood and going crazy. And Brent Venables was here earlier in the week. He wasn't here last night, but he was here earlier in the week. And it's just like, that didn't happen last time. And I don't know what the difference is. I mean, there's some different people that weren't here in 22 with OU. But it's – I don't think that's a Roger Denny rallying the troops. I don't know. But it's just – I haven't seen the school and just all the different coaches rally around a team like this. And it's kind of the perfect storm in that it's baseball, so it's the summer and stuff. But it's just – it just feels so big. And it is big, but it just feels big. And it's been incredible to watch. I can't recall anything that I've gotten to cover quite like this. It's been unbelievable, and we'll see what happens moving forward in the finals. I'm guessing all those same people will be back again in the finals. Brent Venables talking to the team of the night was all time. It was incredible. And it's just been unbelievable to watch, and it's been a really fun thing. And so we'll see how they can keep it going. But yeah, all the coaches and everybody being there, it's been really cool. John Mateer being there last night was obviously a lot of fun too.
Did you see, I think it was the video of Brent talking to the team in the locker room before the game, and it's kind of over Brent's shoulder, and like you see like in the doorway, I think it was Nick Wislowski.
It was, yes.
Just like getting ready, like he just wanted to like run through a wall right there. Like you can see him just like getting hyped up. And I guess that serves as a pretty good segue into what we're about to talk to here.
Yeah, let's break it up, pitching and offense, because they're both doing their part. We had to start with the pitching.
Yeah.
Three freshman starting pitchers in Omaha. Cord Rager, Xander Mercurius, Nick Wislowski last night. Cord Rager has been in the rotation all year. Now, obviously, he has cranked to a whole new level. The guy's going to be a major leaguer. I have no doubt. He's huge. He's lefty. He throws high 90s. He's nasty. And he completely eviscerated Alabama on Saturday. Xander Mercurius and Nick Wislowski, that was Xander's fourth start of the year against Georgia. That was Nick Wislowski's second start of the year. The other one was in the tournament against the Citadel a couple weeks ago. All three guys were awesome. All three guys got the win. This makes no sense what they're doing. It's unbelievable, Tom. And again, Cord Rager has been in the rotation all year. He's been pretty good all year. This is a new level. The other two guys in the bullpen, kind of here and there. Nick Wislowski really didn't pitch hardly at all until like April. Like it was kind of mid-year. He started to get a little more of a bullpen role. And these dudes, they're all just right out of high school, and they're just on the biggest stage shoving. I can't recall anything quite like this in OU sports where like it's all these freshmen are just being incredible. What can you say about what these guys have done? It really is hard to compute, and it's hard to put into proper context because it just doesn't make sense, and it's not something that should be happening, basically.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense when you look at the numbers. Those three have combined to throw 20 innings and have allowed 2 earned runs in Omaha this week. You'd think that freshmen on the biggest stage would not necessarily wilt under the bright lights, but they would feel the pressure. And I think it was someone on our board last night was like, they might be like too amped up, too nervous to like actually be affected by the pressure.
Maybe.
It's just, again, remarkable is the word I keep coming back to. Like you don't see this from freshmen, generally speaking, in Omaha, let alone a trio of them doing it. And it's just like, if they're not pitching like this, Oklahoma is not here at this point. It's amazing. And look, they've gotten some really good defense behind them too.
Mm-hmm.
Last night, I don't know if you saw it on the broadcast from inside the press box, but after the leaping grab that Desaun Harris made in right field, kind of near the wall, it just kind of panned over to Nick's face, and he was just like in disbelief. Like I got this defense behind me. I can handle this. They've just been nails for them in Omaha.
The defense has been excellent. It's a great point. And yeah, the composure of these guys. If I asked Skip about that last night with Wislowski's composure, him specifically, because it's just, again, second career start. And this Georgia offense, and I'm sure a lot of people, if you're a baseball fan, you're aware, but if you're just kind of, casually keeping up and you're tuned in, you hear like the Georgia offense is good. The Georgia offense, they average close to 3 homers a game, 9 runs a game. Like the numbers they put up are literally, they don't look real, right?
Yeah. And they're the best offense in the country.
Yeah. Nick Wislowski and Xander Mercurius, these freshmen in their fourth and second career starts, essentially shut them down, or at the very least kept them at bay. Like it's unbelievable what they did in both of their starts. It doesn't really make sense. And like for Wislowski yesterday, and there's examples of this in all three guys, but Nick's the one that's most fresh in my brain. He gives up the home run, and then it's another double. It was a double and then a single to put them on the board. And the lineup flips over with Trey Phelps and Daniel Jackson, two of the best hitters in the country. Daniel Jackson is maybe the best hitter in the country. And it's like third time through, they have a run. The Georgia fans are getting loud. They're barking at him. And he gets the next two guys. Like it just the ability to just not be rattled, it's crazy. It's crazy. It doesn't make sense. It's hard to believe, really, what these guys have done. And it's hard not to just sit back and be like, man, future is unbelievable. And they might win a national title this year, but you're looking at next season. All three of these guys are going to be back, presumably, right? You never know. You don't want to get too ahead of yourself. But all three guys, I've been told, pretty good indicator they will all be back. And what an unbelievable thing that is to have these three dudes who are only going to get better be your potential weekend rotation next year. That's unbelievably exciting. And that gives you a chance to win every game you play when you have that kind of starting pitching. And that's what they've done throughout this tournament. And it's just crazy because all season long, this was probably the most consistent year of the starting rotation that I can really recall. It was LJ Mercurius, Cam Johnson, and Corey Rager all year. It shuffled a little bit with the order. They tinkered with LJ and Cam back and forth on that game one, game two. But it was those three guys from opening weekend until the tournament. And Skip made the change in the tournament to go with the youth movement and to lean the freshman. And that change has been unbelievable. I'm running out of the words for it because it doesn't happen. It doesn't happen. It's not supposed to happen. It's been crazy.
Yeah. And for as poised as these trio of freshmen have been, want to give a tip of the cap to LJ Mercurius coming in yesterday. Yep. He had a lot of trouble locating the zone when he first came out of the bullpen. Walked in two runs to make it a two run game at that point. But then he settled back in. He retired the next seven batters he faced and basically just took Georgia out of the game. And Oklahoma, obviously, the offense just piled on the runs late in that one. But I was really impressed with the way he just kind of settled in after that shaky start and just kept, a really dangerous Georgia offense at bay.
No, 100%. And shout out LJ. There are a million great stories with this team, individual stories. And LJ is one of those ones, too, that's kind of, a little bit under the radar in that he was in the rotation. He was supposed to be a big part of this. And he had a great start to his year, started to fade in the middle of the year, and they moved him to the bullpen, essentially one for one for his younger brother. A lot of guys maybe don't handle that very well, and he handled it as well as you possibly could ask. And he's been arguably their best reliever since going to the bullpen. He's been sensational. That was his fourth save last night. They're all in the tournament. He's been their kind of go-to reliever, him and Jackson Cleveland. And again, that says a lot about him to step into that role. And he's a really good dude. We've gotten to talk to him throughout the entire season, and he's been a great dude. And him and his brother have been unbelievable. That family is having a great time right now for good reason.
You've seen how, when his brother's pitching, he's in the bullpen reading a book.
Yeah.
Handling anxiety because he's, too nervous to watch his brother pitch in that situation.
Yeah.
But still obviously wants to support him. Just really cool for them to be able to, share this experience together.
No doubt. Really cool. I remember opening weekends, and Mercurius came out of the bullpen on opening day at Globe Life Field. And LJ started the second game of the year against Oklahoma State. I remember asking LJ about watch his brother, and he talked about that, how he gets way more nervous watching him than himself pitching. And now they're just trading back and forth in Omaha. It's unreal. So that's the pitching side of it.
The Sooners Illustrated Podcast will be back after this short break.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. On the track, my car's look is everything. But today, I'm talking about more than just paint scheme. I'm talking about my favorite games at Chumba Casino. Check out exclusives like Stampede Fury and my own King Croc Fury. It's just as wild as my car looked in Texas. With over 200 games and new ones weekly, play for free at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Evening. Buyer's remorse. Buy a new car? I'll be moving in. Let's get started.
Sorry, I think there's been a mistake. I bought it from Carvana.
You what?
Yeah, great price. I even have 7 days to love it or return it.
So there's no...
No buyer's remorse. More like buyer's rejoice.
I guess I'll let myself out. Congratulations. I mean it.
Buyer's rejoice. Buy your car today on Carvana.
Limitations and exclusions may apply. See our 7-day return policy at Carvana.com.
Now that the school year is officially underway, families are getting a clearer picture of where students are thriving and where they might need a little extra support. It's the perfect time to reinforce what they're learning in class and build confidence along the way. That's where IXL comes in. IXL is an award-winning online learning platform that helps kids truly understand their schoolwork. Whether they're building math confidence, strengthening reading and writing skills, or reviewing science concepts, from pre-K through 12th grade, IXL offers personalized interactive learning that adapts to each child's unique level and pace. IXL supports classroom learning by providing personalized practice that aligns with what students are already studying. It's proven to improve achievement, with results seen in all 50 states. Plus, one subscription covers everything for all the kids in your home, making it a time-saving and cost-effective choice. It's a resource trusted nationwide, and IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. Listeners of this podcast can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLlearning.com/audio. Visit IXLlearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
The offense has been every bit as good, and that's why they keep winning. The power surge, Tom, is this may be the single most mind-blowing thing of it all. They are mashing at a crazy level right now. Five more home runs last night in the win over Georgia in the semis. That gives them 25 for the tournament. 26, excuse me,
yeah,
for the
tournament. I was double-checking the math.
Gotcha. Glad you did that. 26 for the tournament. Jason Walk and Deshaun Harris both hit two last night. They both had four going into last night. They both hit two. So they each have a third of their season's total just in last night's game. They both did that. Trey Gamble also goes deep. Dayton LeChance has been unbelievable, hopping around on one ankle. Jackson Willits, the big home run in the first Georgia game. Brandon Brock has been unbelievable. He hit a homer in the first Georgia game. The lineup is absolutely mashing, and the power surge is unbelievable. You've done the math with the percentage. What number? What's the numbers now with the percentage of the home runs that have come in the tournament? Because it's unreal.
It's 26 out of 91 of their home runs on the season, so close to 29%. Just a shade under
29%. Just in the tournament. Just in the tournament.
Nearly a third of their home runs this season have come in the NCAA tournament.
It'll blow your mind because, you know, going back to the beginning of the year, there was a big thought after last season, first time through the SEC, we need to get more power. We need to go find more power in the portal. In the first half of this season, it was like, it just didn't, you know, I guess it didn't pan out. Dayton LeChance had literally no home runs going into April. You know, a lot of these guys, low home run totals, you know, they're just kind of like, okay, they're still going to have to kind of go with the speed, you know, stealing bags, taking extra bases sort of a thing. And just all of a sudden with the flip of switch, I mean, you talk about home runs and bunches. They've been doing this for an extended stretch now. But just boiling it down to the tournament, I mean, that blows your mind. This power surge, Tom, it's crazy what they're doing. 1 through 9, everyone is putting the ball in the seats. And that's as big of a reason as any. There are a lot of reasons why they're here. That's as big of a reason as any.
Yeah, like you mentioned, it's not like concentrated in like one part of the lineup. They're getting contributions throughout. And I think last night was really the prime example. You get two home runs from Jason Walker, leadoff hitter, who, like you said, had four home runs on the season entering the night. You get two from Deshaun Harris, who was a walk-on and also had four home runs on the season coming into the night. And just those two guys just elevating this offense to be able to do that. And again, like we've talked about Dayton LeChance's tear, we've talked about Dayton Taki's home runs, you know, we're talking about Jackson Willits, talked about Trey Gamble, obviously. Like it's just been truly like unprecedented the way they've done this. I mean, look, if this thing goes three games and they, you know, they are 11 home runs shy of tying like the single NCAA tournament record that's held by, I think, 2024 Tennessee and one of the LSU teams. I can't remember which one. Now, they're probably not going to hit 11 home runs in three games.
Sure.
I'm sure Oklahoma fans are hoping this thing doesn't even go three games. But that's still like a pretty like historic pace that they're on, just to be kind of in that same conversation in terms of the power surge that they've put together in the postseason right now.
No doubt. And, you know, Brendan Brock has been unbelievable. It's just, you know, confidence is a hell of a thing, which I've said before, and they're confident. I mean, they are all at the plate right now, feeling like they're going to square it up every time, and they are. I mean, they largely are. And you mentioned they haven't trailed in Omaha. They're scoring first and scoring early in every game, allowing these young pitchers to settle in and have a lead to work with. It's it's just an unbelievable offense to watch go to work right now. They're just 1 through 9. It's extremely enjoyable to watch. And Tahsaun Harris, you mentioned, he came in, you know, he really didn't play a lot the first half of the year. He came in, he kind of got some run. It was kind of a little bit of a revolving door in that other. It was always kind of Gamble slash Brock in left slash DH slash first with a chance catching, obviously. And then it's been Jason Walk in center. But that other spot, it was Alec Blair for a little bit, a little Drew Dickerson DHing. And then it was some Tahsaun Harris, and he completely locked down the job. I mean, he took it and just completely ran with it. He has the highest batting average on the team. Like you say, he's a former walk-on. Extremely cool story with him. I remember a couple years ago that this guy, he walks on, and his family, his parents are at every game. And it was like, man, that's kind of crazy. You don't really see, you know, every game they're sitting there in Tahsaun Harris stuff. When he's not playing, he's a walk-on. He doesn't ever play. And it was like, you know, you could see like the right kind of attitude slash, you know, he was raised the right way sort of thing early. And now to see it paying off with what he's doing, it's just a cool story. And there's a million stories like that on this team. It's just kind of a special group, and it's unbelievable what they've done. And now they're into the finals. North Carolina, that's who awaits. So they have another huge test, another great team. They will again be the underdogs, as they have been this entire time, which is kind of the funny thing because it just keeps going. I don't know for a fact, obviously, but I would venture to say that most will pick North Carolina to win nationally. Maybe not, but they are the betting underdogs as of last night. I haven't looked this morning, but as of last night, Carolina was a pretty solid favorite to win. They're really good. They're in the top five. They've pretty much ran through their bracket here in Omaha as well, beating Ole Miss and then beating West Virginia twice. They blew them out yesterday. West Virginia made a little bit of a run late to kind of make it look a little better, but it was a pretty sound feat last night for the Tar Heels. And it's a team that beat OU in the regional last year. So they have some recent history with one another. A lot of new faces for both teams. College rosters turn over quick, as everyone knows. But there are some obviously faces that are back from those two teams that will be running it back with each other in the finals. Going to be another big test, Tom. I mean, Carolina's been really good in Omaha as well. They're a really good team, top five seed for a reason. And they've been on a little bit of a magical run of their own in some ways. Not quite as out of nowhere, obviously, to the level, but they were backs against the wall, felt like they were dead against USC and the Supers, found a way to rally and win to get here, and now they're in the finals as well. Should be another heavyweight fight in the finals. You feel like, oh, you can beat anyone at this point, obviously, with what they've done, but another big test coming up here starting on Saturday night.
Yeah, I mean, like it's going to be a really interesting series. Obviously, Oklahoma has beat some teams that are of North Carolina's caliber to this point. Like we talked about,
yeah,
being able to beat Georgia Tech twice on the road, being able to beat Georgia twice back to back there in Omaha. Obviously Alabama is right there. You know, the seventh seed, very close to that seeding too. So Oklahoma knows it can play with anybody at this point. And obviously, to get to the final, like. You can compete against anybody in the country at that point. I'm going to be really interested to see if these freshman pitchers can carry it on, because I would assume that Kordreger will start on Saturday on a full week's rest.
I would assume so, yeah.
And that's the other thing. Like, I haven't gotten to watch North Carolina's games in Omaha yet, but Oklahoma set itself up really well in terms of pitching. Because like you're going to have Kordreger on a full week's rest, you're going to be able to go to these other freshman pitchers on not as much rest, obviously, but
Weslowski a little quick of a turnaround ish, but Xander will be basically a full week too.
Yeah, but your bullpen is very fresh as well.
Yes,
like you haven't had to exhaust a lot of these arms, so I'm really curious to see how that works out for Oklahoma. I think one of the big things for them is just, will the offense be able to keep striking early? Because, I think that's an underrated part of what these freshman pitchers have been able to do. It's like they haven't had to pitch from behind. They've gotten to go out there and take the mound in the first or second innings with an advantage. And that does a lot psychologically for a guy, freshman or not, like going out there knowing you have a little bit of a cushion lets you throw a little bit more freely. So if Oklahoma can get on the board early in these games, I'd like their chances to be able to keep rolling, but I think it's going to be a really tough matchup regardless.
It's a great point about the bullpen. They've only used five guys, including the three starters, in these first three games. haven't used Nate Smithberg yet, who was sensational in Lawrence. Haven't had to use Jason Bowden, who's one of Skip's, you know, favorite relievers. Haven't had to use Gavin Jones, who's been good in the tournament. These are all guys that are going to be completely fresh. And Jackson Cleveland only threw once. You know, Elgin Mercurius has thrown a good amount in the two games, but he got 2 days off here. I would think he'll be right back available on Saturday. Like, you're going to be completely ready to go. Now, North Carolina's in the same boat, obviously, in terms of they got their business handled early. They don't have to play today, right? I mean, they're going to be rested as well. But for Oklahoma, yeah, from a pitching standpoint, they'll have a full deck. And the fact they haven't even had to use some of their best relievers at all is kind of crazy, honestly. That just goes to show you how good the starting pitching has been, because they've been getting deep in these games. And then Mercurius or Cleveland has just taken it from there in all three of the wins so far. So it should be a fun matchup. If, for anyone who remembers, you know, last year they pushed Carolina to a game seven in Chapel Hill. So they got them once. Carolina obviously got them twice. And they'll run it back, obviously, over a year later, now playing for a national championship. I'm fascinated by the fan turnout for this. I think OU fans are in, right? And look, it's been well documented in 22 in the finals. It was basically we were in Oxford. Omaha was Oxford for those finals. Skip Johnson talked about it last night. He said, I don't know who gave out 30,000 blue towels, but that wasn't very fair. Obviously making a joke about the whole crowd was Ole Miss. It was completely overwhelmed. And I don't know if it had an impact on the game or not. They lost the game, so it's easy to say that it did. But who knows, right? Who knows what would happen if it wasn't so overwhelmingly an Ole Miss crowd. But it was. It was a complete Ole Miss crowd. This time around, I feel like the crowds in Omaha have been really good. Unfortunately, OU has played a red team every time, so it's been kind of hard to tell the split. But it feels like just walking around the city, going out to eat, that I see way more OU fans here this time than last time. And I think this weekend, so many people are in on this run. It's a Saturday night. There's been so many calls, and so many people have brought up, like I just did, how bad it was in 22. I think the crowd has a chance to be really good for OU fans this weekend, and maybe even more, because I don't, you know, it's a much shorter trip than North Carolina. So I'm very excited and interested to see the fan turnout for this, because, you know, like I said before, it just has felt bigger this time. And those great OU people. I mean, Barry Switzer's up here. The guy's pushing 90. He's up here. And, you know, what's your, you know, excuse, I guess, is you know, so it's going to be fun. I'm very excited to see what the environment looks like and if OU fans can really get up here and take Omaha over a little bit, because these guys have earned it. This is a fun team to cover, a lot of good dudes on this team. And so I'm excited to see what that looks like. It's going to be a scene on Saturday night. Looking forward to it. All right, I think that's it. We're keeping it a little bit tight. I got to get this thing up on hotel Wi-Fi, so we'll keep it a little tight. But, yeah, unbelievable. I'm still in Omaha. I've been here all week. We'll obviously continue to be through the next few days. Keep an eye out on the site, oklahoma247sports.com. We've had tons of CBS coverage for myself. Thomas chipped in with some as well, which has been greatly appreciated. More to come. I'll be getting out to practice today. The media day for the finals is tomorrow, so they're going to have a press conference and I think like an open practice actually at Charles Schwab Field. So I'll be out at that. Keep an eye out for the press conference on the YouTube channel. All the post-game pressers are available on our YouTube channel as well, so keep an eye out for those to hear from the team after every game. I think that's it. Tom, it's been wild, and we're going to see if they can keep this thing rolling for, you know, a couple more wins, bring home a national championship. It'd be quite a story if they did.
Yeah. Enjoy your little bit of reprieve these next 48 hours before things pick up again Saturday. But I know you got a lot going on. So, you know, make the most of that trip.
Yeah, it's an awesome trip. It's a really cool place. So if you haven't been up here yet, do it. Promise. You'll feel good about it. Promise. All right. That's it for Tom Green. I'm Josh Calloway. Signing off. See you next time right back here, as always, on Sooners Illustrated.